And this Son whom we love, who pleases the Father, may He indeed fill us and enable us to please God as well through everything that we go through. Amen. Today's message, as I hinted at with our children's message, is called United. And it is a blessing to be together. Looks like my font's a little bit smaller than I want it to be this morning, for which I apologize. But the subtitle there is You Plus God Equals a Majority. I hope you believe that. I really do. That whatever it is we go through, whatever it is we struggle with, whatever it is that weighs on us, we are absolutely never alone. We get through even the tragedies, because you and I plus God equals a majority. Well, let's look at Romans 6, where this phrase, this idea comes from. We hear it talked about, this idea of baptism. If we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into His death. And that means that just as He died for sin, we're dead to sin. As He rises again because of new life and conquering over sin, we rise also. And then verse 5 summarizes that up. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. So you are part of the united body of Christ. You are united with Jesus. And it's so important that that sinks in for us, because there are plenty of times when it doesn't feel like it's true, right? We have those, they hit us. I remember, and now, if you've been a Christian all your entire life since a bitty baby and you don't remember any better, you might not be able to know or relate to this experience. But as an adult convert, I remember very clearly there was this sweet little bubble that I was in for about 6 months after I became a Christian. The joy of the Lord was my strength, and nothing went wrong. I think if I would have bought a lottery ticket, God would have even let me win. You know what I'm saying? It was just smooth sailing and so wonderful. Now, 6 months or so down the line, normal life, normal troubles, even some extra troubles started to come in. Did that mean that God, I'd lost the shine and God didn't love me or consider me as beloved as before? No, I think what was happening was He was letting a toddler gain His strength so that that toddler would be ready to walk more closely with Jesus, with most of what the real world is really like. But there are definitely some burdens that hit us. There are even some times when we ask ourselves, is God still with me? This hurts terribly. It can be trauma in our lives. It can be financial struggles or relationship problems that hit us in our lives. It can be like what was going on with John the Baptist. I mean, imagine John the Baptist. He's the first prophet to show up in 4 years. God has been blessing his ministry. He's had crowds, thousands come to him to be baptized, and they've changed their lives. And he's speaking to the Roman soldiers, and they're listening to him. He's speaking to Herod, and Herod's even listening to him. But then the next thing John knows, he, the first prophet, he, the one that's representing God, ends up in jail. I'm going to guess that John the Baptist didn't think that was in his job description. I'm going to imagine that, you know, when he clicked I agree to the little terms of use, the user or end user license agreement that we do in apps on our phones and everything else, I'm going to guess he didn't bother to read in the small print that said, oh, by the way, you're going to struggle, you're going to be thrown in prison, you're going to be beheaded. Even before you're beheaded, you're going to wonder if the one who's coming after you is really the one you thought was going to come. Do you still want to do this? You see, he was struggling. He was having difficulties. He's there in prison and going through all of this. And frankly, we would be very dishonest as Christians if we didn't say we have overwhelming burdens in our lives. It'd be really dishonest of Jesus, I think, also, if he just said, oh, just come follow me. You won't have another problem the rest of your days. Instead, what do we know Jesus does say? In Matthew chapter 11, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says in John chapter 16, in this world you're going to have trouble. I know that. I've even had trouble. My cousin, the first prophet in 400 years, John the Baptist, had trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Those are great and wonderful words, and if you even need some help with that, you know, we hear as Milton read for us the Old Testament reading that God said, "Thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, Israel." Isn't it amazing that God would love us enough to make us, right? He goes on and says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." What amazing grace that he has redeemed us, and he buys us, and he makes us his own. But then there's this other hint of something even more wonderful than he creates us, even more wonderful than he buys us and makes us his own. He says, "I don't just send you out on your own now. No, when you pass through waters, I will be with you. When you go through the flood, you won't go through it alone. I will be united with you, and you will not face that alone. When you walk through fires, you shall not be burned and consumed, because I will be with you." This is what it means to be united to God. What it means that when in the depth of our soul we go, "I have a problem that no one else even understands. I have a burden, a pain that no one else can help me carry. I've got this situation in my life that is, I don't see how it's ever going to change. And it's just me, myself, and I finding a way through it." We, as we feel that, as we even start to believe that and spiral downward because of that kind of a overwhelming burden, we today get to hear Jesus say to us, "No." Is there a burden? Yes. Are you going through it alone? No. I'm with you. There are plenty of burdens that overwhelm, and we're the most honest Christians when we admit that and we accept that and we say that it's true, because we are also saying there's something greater than the burden. There's something greater than the sin that we struggle with or the temptation that constantly pulls us back in the same, you know, hole and pit. There's something greater than the rejection we face at a workplace or even in our own homes. There is something greater than the disappointment that life hasn't gone the way we wanted it to. For all of those burdens that weigh us down, the greater thing that is available is God saying, "I'm with you. I'm with you." You might not be fully convinced, but I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already experienced this, go ahead and try if you want. Try living a week as if God's not with you. Try living a week as if I'm going to handle every single thing that happens myself. I can handle it. I can do it. This is something that a philosopher in ancient ages asked people who were not necessarily active as Christians to try. Try it for a week. Try it for a month. Try it for a year without God. Now try it for a week. Try it for a month. Try it for a year as if he really is with you. See which one helps you to be more hopeful. See which one helps you to be happier. See which one seems more in line with what is your need and what is his truth and what is his offer and his power and his peace. There is such great risk for us if we are really going to try to handle a burden by ourselves. For one thing, you and I are so limited in our resources. We're so limited in our experience. I know you and I can Google and say, when I'm struggling with depression that I cannot seem to break out of and no amount of medication has ever helped me, what should I do then? You can put that in Google and you're going to get about 2 million answers. I tried yesterday. Very few of those answers are going to point you to Jesus. And that's why coming here is better than searching in Google. Coming here is better because we are reminded he's the one that says, "I am with us." Coming here is the one who says, "I want to so be with you. I will meet you here at this table. I will come as I have come for the Sunday after Sunday for 21 centuries to make sure you know I am with you, with your problem, with your fear, with your struggle, with your uncertainty, with your question, with your burden. I will be with you." And suddenly the burden that seems so overwhelming, the cancer the doctors can't solve, I'm not saying it's going to go away. Sometimes God does miracles like that. But sometimes the other miracle is he helps us get through a burden that we did not think was possible for us to possibly get through a fire that we said, I don't have any idea how I would face that. Through waters and floods, we have no idea how we would get through this. Well, we get through because Jesus is God with us. That was the celebration at Christmas, wasn't it? You shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God who chose not just to stay up there and say, I created you and I've redeemed you, who chose to come down and say, I'm with you. God who gave up the riches of heaven, the worship of angels, the utter obedience of every heavenly creature and those below the earth as well, gave all of that up to come be with us, to show us we're not alone, and how different life can be when we are with him and he is with us. God who took on our very flesh, who faced every single one of our temptations, who overcame all of that and said, now that I have been with you, I want to offer you the power that I had to do that so that my power, my strength, my living presence will be with you always. This Jesus who chooses to be with us then at one point says, you know what? If it's okay with you, if it's okay with you, I'd like to face this hardest challenge of all in your place. Rather than you have to die for your sin, I'm going to say, I'm not just with you, I'm going to even go ahead of you. And I will face the punishment for that sin, and I will face the suffering and the pain for through that death, and I will go through that, and then I will give you the benefit of that afterwards by attaching myself with you in baptism. When you think of baptism that way, when you think of what Jesus is willing to offer and give and do and go in our place, go ahead of us and yet still be with us, I don't think words can really describe it. I don't think the peace and the possibilities can really be understood, but it starts in our baptism. I'm united with you. I'm making you God's child. Those same words that the Heavenly Father spoke over Jesus, he, because of Jesus, says to you at your baptism, you're my child, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. I know that God isn't well pleased with every word I said this past week, with every thought you thought this past week, with everything we have done or left undone. He's not well pleased with that, but he looks at Jesus and says, oh, well, you're with Jesus? Price paid, debt canceled, life given, promises kept always, never let you go, always with you through the fire, through the flood, through the overwhelming burdens. All of it starting in our baptism as he gives us that physical assurance that we are his and he is with us. And it continues all through life. Remember childhood, how great we thought it was, right? Oh, so free, we can do whatever we want. But then we suddenly realize, wow, if I get a little freer, a little older, I get to drive. Remember when we got to drive and how free and great that was? This is fantastic. I get to drive. I can take mom's car, dad's car, whatever. I can go out and I can go anywhere I want. And then we got a little older and realized, wow, somebody's been paying the bill for us to do that. But wouldn't that be cool if I had the money and I had the job and I could go out and do all that? I'd have even more freedom. I could have the kind of house I want, the kind of car that I want, and the kind of life that I want. And God says, yes, and I'll still be with you, and I'll still bless you, because it isn't always just about freedom, and it isn't always just about getting more and getting better and things being good. It is also when the bitter comes that he says he is with us. It's always all when the paycheck stops that he says he's with us. It's also when the mechanic tells us that's going to be $1,065 to keep that old junker clunker of yours going, that he says, I am with you. Fear not. He continues on through all of life. The part that's hard when we can't figure out how to get our kids to talk to us or our grandkids. The part that's uncertain when we're not sure, how am I going to face this continuing losses now, where I'm having to think about giving up the car, and maybe even giving up living on my own, and maybe even giving up walking. He's still with us, and he never leaves us. And he says there's always more. There's more beyond the limitations. There's more beyond the burdens. There's more beyond the cancer. There's more even beyond death. And that more is going to be with me, you with me, for all eternity. John the Baptist hung on to that promise and got through, even when Herod ended his physical life. Jesus hung on and lived out that promise and got through, even as he was in such racked pain that he cried out on the cross, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And you and I, with the God who would grab hold of us at baptism and pour scripture upon scripture and fill us with his Spirit and say, "You don't have to face that burden alone. Come to me today." That God will be with us throughout all of our lives. He's with you. And I love just, those closing lines from the Old Testament reading I want to share again. "Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." Hear Jesus say that to you today in the midst of any burden you're facing. "I'm with you, and I love you, and we will get through it all together and beyond it all together." May God help us have that strength as we let him hold us. Amen.